We all know the phrase beyond a reasonable doubt. You've seen it in television, courtroom dramas. You've probably heard it in jury duty yourself, maybe. It's the legal standard for a jury to convict somebody of a crime. It's the law, and we all know it. Well, what if a judge turned to a jury, turned to you as a juror, and said, hey, I know I'm the judge, but take what I say, you know, purely advisory. Do what you think is best. Don't worry about this whole beyond a reasonable doubt thing. You can interpret the law yourself. It's really up to you. Now, that sounds pretty crazy, but that's exactly what happened in Maryland for years, where outdated wording from colonial times was still hanging around in Maryland courthouses. It wasn't until 2012 that Maryland's Court of Appeals decided that some people sentenced to life in prison by these juries deserved another trial. And so now 250 prisoners are requesting new trials. And as you might have guessed, it sparked a big debate in Maryland about whether unearthing these cases is a good idea for the prisoners and for the families of the victims. University of Maryland law professor Michael Milliman represents dozens of these defendants, and he says it's arcane jury instructions that have caused all the problems.
Many of the judges back in the day in the 60s and 70s gave a reasonable doubt instruction, but they made it advisory. And they said to the jury, you're not bound by my instructions. And that's the nub of the problem. You're right, it dates to colonial times. In colonial times, revolutionary leaders were trying to figure out ways to nullify English law that was being applied by English Tory judges. And so they came up with this approach. And then when we adopted our constitution and the states began to develop their own constitutions, they put this provision in the earliest constitutions.
Where judges were telling juries, okay, it's just advisory, interpreting the law really in the end is up to you, free citizens. Well, so as I understand it, courts in Maryland overturned this back in 1980. They said, okay, we're not going to do that anymore.
That's right.
But that was only prospectively. So it was only in 2012 that they decided, wait a second, all those people from 1980 or even before up to 2012 might need new trials.
That's exactly right. And the people who were entitled to new trials were the people who were tried in 1960 and 1970. So you've got people who average age is 64. They've been locked up. The mean is between 36 and 40 years. And at least the 67 who are now out compiled very impressive prison records, got GEDs in prison, got bachelor degrees in prison, a couple got master's degrees, engaged in programming, and were good citizens. So, as they come out as many of them as senior citizens with a radically different world than it was in 1960s and 70s.
I was just about to say, what has it been like for a lot of those people who've been incarcerated for 35 and 40, sometimes longer, years, to come out into a world with the internet and smartphones and everything else? I mean, things have changed so very much.
Yeah, I'll give you one example. I picked up one of the prisoners who I argued on behalf of down on the Eastern Shore, and I gave him a ride back to his program in Baltimore. I have a 2003 Volvo that has bare bones, nothing in it. He got in the car and said, wow, this is a spaceship. And I tried to explain to him that he's going to see a lot more cars that he would consider spaceships. So it's been a transition. Now, the good news is that we have 15 or so social workers. The public defender's office, which has really been the leader on this project, has its own social workers, and we're developing safety nets for everybody who's coming out. Housing, access to medical care, access to benefits, even the simple things, how you get a bus pass, how you get a social security card. So they're coming out with support. But, the point I would make, prison life is structured minute by minute to take away your ability to make decisions. You're told what to do every second of the day. So it is a huge adjustment. It's not just the 3 or 4 decades later factor. It's the fact that prison is structured to take away autonomy.
To reintegrate somebody who's been institutionalized by design back into society, regardless of whatever whiz-bang technologies we have. Well, Professor Milliman, what about the rest of the people? You mentioned 67 who've come out. There are hundreds more demanding retrials. Are the ranks of prisoners getting released and maybe entering your program and trying to reintegrate going to just grow and grow? Or might some of them be retried and reconvicted? What's going to happen?
Actually, state's attorneys including in Baltimore City, where most of these negotiations have come from, and particularly outside Baltimore City, are retrying a number of them, or they're appealing decisions to the Court of Special Appeals. So I think it's a mixed bag. There are another, whatever the difference is between 67 and 250, that's the number of other inmates who have claims under this decision. And as I said, a number of states' attorneys are negotiating releases because, frankly, it's in the state's interest to do so. The average cost of a prisoner in Maryland is about $38,000 a year. I don't think that includes capital costs. These folks, because of their age and their medical needs, are substantially more expensive. So, you know, when you need an operation, you need surgery, you need constant medical attention, it's going to add up. These guys come out on probation. They have conditions of probation they must follow. They don't attack the guilty verdict. That's part of the agreement. It's just a resentencing. So the state gets a lot of supervision and structure on these guys, and they, in turn, get to come out of prison.
Old jury instructions dating back to the era of King George are still haunting the courts in the state of Maryland. And ever since 2012, there are hundreds of prisoners, 250, getting new trials. About 70 of them have already come out of prison. Michael Milliman is professor of law at University of Maryland, representing dozens of those defendants. Professor, thank you.
You're welcome.